Today is April 14th, 2024. This is MobileViews Podcast 506. And we're saying goodbye to yet another Google service that I use.
Yeah, we should just start the, I'm sure someone already has like the Google Death Podcast or something like that.
Well, there's a Google Graveyard page, webpage.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, we're going to be like, there's a Sunday a news program. I think it's called literally called Sunday Morning that has an in memoriam pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should have an in memoriam just for Google.
We might as well. I mean, they certainly keep us busy. And it's interesting that, you know, most companies honestly will tell you that they cut products because they make them no money. But I think Google is more transparent than most. Because it can be a product that's being wildly used and popular, but if there was no money at the end of it, then, oh well, sorry.
It's not a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. Yes. Services are not a popularity contest. It's all about the dollars or, you know, whatever currency is in your country. But we'll come to that.
Yeah.
We'll come to that soon. And I'm just sort of emotionally preparing myself for that discussion. Another sad piece of news, it is mid-April, April 14th, and we still ain't got no iPads.
Yeah, and the rumors keep flying around that the third-party manufacturers that produce cases and produce accessories are being told, you know, it's pushing back again. So this is obviously something that Apple, you know, they haven't given up. They would like to release iPads at some point. So what do we think is causing this issue, or whatever you think is holding them up?
If I had to guess, I have two guesses. Guess number one is they ran into some kind of a firmware problem. Possible, I guess. Although, you know, they're usually pretty good about releasing stuff on time. Now, on time has relative meanings because they've never said if they're going to release anything. So, you know, on our time, I could say. Mm-hmm. Theory number two is it's a supply chain issue.
Yeah, because I don't think it's a hardware specification issue. It sounds like, I mean, the designs, I think, are done in terms of the hardware. It would not even surprise me if the designs are done in terms of software. We are getting close enough to WWDC that you could almost make an argument that maybe they're not sure if they're going to enable certain features or things like that are requiring the software to be worked out. But since a lot of these rumors are coming via case manufacturers and stuff, I think the hardware is pretty much set. It is right now, I would kind of agree with you. The only thing I can think of is probably supply chain, that they just are not getting enough parts to do what they want to do. But we are reaching, you know, according to Mac Rumors Buyer's Guide, we're at 544 days since the last iPad Pro 12.9 release. Yeah. The average is 507. So this is now almost the longest. Yeah. From November 2015 to June 2017, we hit 572 days. So the longest we've waited for that. The regular old iPad, even though its average is 608, because it had a really long time between the first iPad and the second iPad, because remember, they renamed things and did some weird stuff. That was 544 days still. And the iPad Air and Mini, well, the Mini, we never know what's going to happen with it. But the iPad Air was pretty popular. And it's at 768
days. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it is quite crazy. Now, the iPad Air did go a long time between September 16 to March of 19. It went 922 days. So we've not reached the longest time between iPads, but we definitely are at a weird issue here. So I don't think internally Apple's probably too crazy right now, but they definitely want to release something soon because it's multiple iPads right now. You know, usually was that the Airs were on a different release schedule than the Pros and different release schedule than the iPad. So yeah, I think the hardware is sitting there. The specs are done. It's just getting them produced and getting them ready to go.
Yeah, the problem that Apple will have very soon is that graduation season is coming up like within a month or two, depending on your school schedule. And iPads, I think, are still pretty popular gifts for graduating high schoolers or college students. And if they don't get it released in the next couple of weeks, they're going to completely miss that. And in fact, already, you know, by not having it available and having parents and grandparents and friends, you know, doing the budgeting for graduation gifts, they're kind of putting themselves in a hole. So we shall see what's going on. But I did not realize we are what the political pundits, when they talk about various things these days, like to say we are in uncharted territory.
Yes. Yeah. And we really are in somewhat uncharted territory. But strangely enough, whatever we want to think of with uncharted, what is uncharted anymore?
I would say one thing, though, you know, having been a professional blogger for a brief but wonderful period of time, things like this are great. Even delays are great because you don't have to do any work in terms of testing and stuff, which you would have to do on a new iPad. And you can write like tons and tons of articles. And, you know, it's like day 500 and still no new iPad.
Yeah. Still working on it.
All right. Moving on from Apple alphabetically to Google. So we recorded our first full podcast using Google Meet last week. And I think it was a pretty decent experience. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's, you know, it works across all the browsers that we might want to work with it. So that's sort of nice. We did have some issues with other things that we've been doing where it didn't always work with every one that we were going off of. So
yeah. And a lot of times it wasn't technology.
Optimistic.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like Google, not Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, where if you're an enterprise and I'm on personal and I invite you, you can't join me. But if you invite me, I can join you, things like that. Some people can't even use Skype anymore because it's been so long since they used it. They can't figure out how to log in and join a meeting and things like that. And Zoom, I've just, you know, Zoom is great for what it is, but I've never been happy with its audio quality. And I'm too cheap to pay for its service for something that only does one thing. And I should note, I am paying for the ability to record Google Meet for our five listeners, but I'm paying for it as part of a package called Google One, a subscription, which gives me, you know, more. I had to get more storage, as I mentioned last week. I had to move up from 200 gigabytes to 2 terabytes because there's nothing in between. And one of the positive side effects of that migration to a new subscription tier was the ability to record using Google Meet. So I'm really pretty happy with it so far. It seems less stressful and easier to just get on for people, I think, for technical civilians. And I've got some friends I want to talk to, record a podcast with. I've got one coming up this Wednesday that should be fun, about a friend who spent 6 months in Antarctica as their staff physician. So I think that should be a fun podcast. So I will say one thing that I am disappointed in. I was going to say upset, but I'm not upset. And that is, you know, last week we spent, or at least I spent a little bit of time getting side-by-side displays so, you know, we could see each other. And if we held up something, it wouldn't like suddenly shift. And that worked out great. But it turns out when you record, it doesn't keep that setting. What I see is not what is recorded. It's basically whoever's talking. So we'll see how it works out. This week, I'm not doing that. We'll see what the recording looks like after I stop the recording. But we don't really show this podcast in video mode in full because it's just talking heads. Why would people want to look at us? But
we're not that interesting to look at.
No. And so
we don't dress up for this. If you're listening and you think that we, you know, really try to make a visual appearance that is pleasing to the eye, that's not really what we're going for. I mean, thankfully we're not, you know, OnlyFans or anything like that, but we're, you know, we're just normal.
Yes. But I will do some, I think I'd like to do some like product demos, one of these, some of these podcasts. I had something for today, but I didn't bring it downstairs. I got a transparent mouse, which is a lot more fun than it sounds like. I thought it was just gimmicky, but I actually like it. But I'd like to do like, you know, 2 or 3 minute video demos. I thought that'd be kind of interesting because we thought about it for a while, you know, years back, and it was just too much of a hassle. But I think tools are better now, even editing. Oh, by the way, one of the things I discovered, and this might surprise you. So I've done a little bit of editing using both iMovie, Apple iMovie on the Mac, and Microsoft's ClipChamp. I think it's called ClipChamp for Windows 11. ClipChamp is way easier to use than Apple iMovie. I mean, way easier for really, you know, for just putting together a 2 or 3 minute video and, you know, clipping it out of this larger video podcast thing and getting it online. So that I found surprising. But at any rate, okay, now to the sad news. So Google apparently has announced, everybody's reporting it. I haven't seen Google's actual news announcement, but 9to5 Google and other places have announced that Google is going to discontinue the Google One VPN service. Google One, as I said, is a paid service. It's a subscription. Mostly it's for storage, but at certain tiers, you also get we still get the Google One VPN and the ability to record Google Meet at the 2 terabyte tier, and you can add AI. Anyway, it's a subscription thing. Mm-hmm. And I like that feature, which they added just 2 or 3 years ago, I think. And in fact, I was thinking about cutting off with the subscription to the VPN vendor I use now when, you know, I'm out and about and I feel like I need to be a little bit more secure standing in Starbucks or supermarket or wherever there's public Wi-Fi. And I was just about to discontinue my other the VPN only paid service. And Google announces this. So it's, you know, yeah. Now, if you have a Google Pixel phone, that VPN service is going to remain up. So why didn't they just keep it up for everybody? I mean, you know, those of us on Google One do pay for it at various levels. So disappointing, very disappointing, but Google.
Yes.
Yes. That's what they do. Rest in peace, Google One VPN. All right. The other news, another better news, I think, for folks who do not pay for Google One or the subscription, the additional, what is called the AI editing tools for Google Photos are going to be available to all Google Photo users. So I think there's you can basically, I'm going to use the term airbrushing in a very loose sense. You can airbrush out backgrounds, and you can remove kind of what you can do in Apple Photos already. You can remove backgrounds, you can do color pops where only the subject is in color focus and the rest is in black and white or grayscale. So things like that, which are really fun to use and useful also, are going to be part of just Google Photos. So you can look forward to that if you're not a Google One subscriber. You use Google Photos, don't you, John?
Yeah, I used to use it quite a bit, and then the free tier went away. So now I still have many things in there. I just don't have the regular. I don't have anything new since I guess the free tier ended.
Yeah, I forgot about that. In fact, that's why I had to. I think I had to pay extra to, because I have so many photos in Google Photos, and it was the easiest thing for me to store everything. You know, like from an Android phone. I'm not sure you can store to Apple iCloud from Android phone, but at any rate, that seemed like the easiest thing to do. So I am still a Google Photos user, quite heavy actually. All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is that it's been about 9 months, and I don't know why it came to mind. It just came to mind the other day. It's not a 1 year anniversary, but it's been about 9 months since I bought and received my Google One, not my Google One, my Google Pixel tablet with dock, which was released last June, 2023. And, you know, I was not sure how much I would like using it. I bought it kind of on a lark because I wanted a different digital doodling tool aside from my iPad. And I also have a Windows machine, which is a terrible doodling tool. But that was one of the reasons. I was also, my Google Assistant, which is a Lenovo smart display, was being deprecated and losing features, like it seemed every week. And so I wanted something to replace that. And I will tell you, the Google Pixel tablet is not a good replacement for a Google Assistant device. It doesn't have all the features. It doesn't respond the way I wanted to. But as a dockable tablet, it's turned out to be kind of awesome. You know, I thought that the dock, which does have pretty decent speakers, but the dock's always recharging thing, I thought, yeah, that's interesting. It turned out to be my favorite thing about the whole combo. Google's marketing was it's always charged when you need it. And there's something to that, you know? I mean, I don't always plug in my iPad when I'm using it, and it'll drop down to, you know, 40% during the day. And I go, oh, now I got to charge it in, and it's not as useful, and blah, blah, blah. But my Google Pixel tablet, generally speaking, is always at 90% because, you know, that whole battery health thing, they don't charge it to 100% unless you force it to. Battery life's great, and it turned out to be, during the day, generally speaking, that's what I use most of the time. You know, it's sitting on a stand, and when I'm, you know, eating lunch or doing some chores or whatever, and it's been super useful. And now I wish my Apple iPad had a dock with a magnetic charger, because I definitely would go for that scenario. I would pay extra for a dock that has the same kind of features this thing does. And the other thing I would say is, you know, it is true in my opinion, or I shouldn't say it's true in my opinion. In my opinion, there are fewer good apps for Android. There are more apps in total, but fewer good apps for Android, you know, for the tablet especially, than iPad. And many of the apps for the Pixel tablet are not designed to work with the tablet. So, Facebook and Instagram. Wait, I don't have Instagram on it. I have Facebook on it. Facebook does not know you have a tablet. And if you bring it up in landscape mode, it only shows it on the left half of the screen. So, but still, enough of the popular apps are available for the tablet. Well, I should say for Android that work on the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think it's a problem. That includes Microsoft Office, by the way. That works fine on it. So I paired it with really nice keyboard and mouse from ProtoArch, and it works great.
You know, the big key that Microsoft or that Apple had over Android tablets was app compatibility. Yeah. And I think that's slowly starting to get to be more parity between these Android tablets. We just need to keep Google caring about Android tablets for a little while longer. You know, traditionally what we've had in the Android space that is problematic is that an OEM or Google will say, yes, we're going to get behind tablets. And then they start playing with tablets, and then tablets don't immediately take off 5 minutes later, and they kill it.
Yeah.
And then they restart it a year or two later, and then they kill it. And then they restart it a year or two later. So if we can actually keep Google, you know, Android tablets, maybe Google will see them through slightly longer than everyone else has. We might be able to get something done. But I think, you know, it was sort of like everyone tried Android tablets and they were all dead. And then Samsung tried Android tablets and then no one else did. So they died. And now Google is trying Android tablets
again.
We just have to see if Google will be able to keep it or not.
Yeah, and the importance to again, in my opinion, the importance of a Google Android tablet is that Google keeps it up to date in terms of Android OS versioning. Whereas if you go out and look at, I think even at Samsung's, the current Android OS is 14. You will see Android tablets, maybe not from Samsung, but from many, and I've looked, that are still running Android 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even Samsung, at least some of the ones I've seen, were running either 12 or 13. And by looked, I mean, you know, Center of Technology when I go to Costco. And they have a Samsung, you know, area as well as an Apple area, right next to each other, interestingly enough. And every time I look at the tablet, oh, that's nice. This one comes with a stylus. This one comes with a keyboard or, you know, something, some nice bundle. And he's like, oh, it's running Android 12 or 13. So, you know, what's the point of that? Android 14 has been out since, well, forever, I think. But it's been out for a while since last year, I think.
Yeah,
because 15 is coming due soon. So, and I know you're still not interested in Android again, I should say, because you were an Android user for a while.
Yeah, but I like to see Android doing well, because I think it pushes everyone to do well. And the same thing with, you know, if you're an Apple user, it's great when Android's doing well, and it's also great when people hold Apple accountable for things. Yeah. So you really should be interested in everything going on.
Yeah, and it's like this, my experience with the Pixel tablet and its dock. I don't think it's something I would have asked for. But now that I've used it for 9 months, it's something I'm asking for, because it's something I want. It's like, it's been useful. Mm-hmm. I understand its value. Google was actually right. It wasn't just marketing speak, in my opinion, trying to sell this combo. it really does make sense. And I really hope Apple comes out with an affordable, keyword affordable dock. I don't want to see a $500 dock, you know, made of titanium or something like that, or platinum. You know? I just want a dock that works. Plastic is fine, Apple. Really, it is. Or aluminium, you know, next. Doesn't have to be a titanium. Okay. My last news item is one that's kind of annoying me. Is I've been reading, and this one's from Mashable. It says, Microsoft, it's not there yet. I think it's only an insider release. Microsoft is testing out start menu ad placements in Windows 11. Yuck.
Yeah. Microsoft. And, you know, we also had the thing this week where the latest builds of Windows 11 were blocking certain apps that customized or reverted the start menu or pared down the start menu. So, you know, Microsoft, I don't know how to tell you this. You don't have the best designers on the planet. You've never been known for design that just works or makes sense. So yeah, maybe you should not try to block people from making Windows work the way that they want it to work. Of course, I don't know what else their alternative is. So it's not like I'm going to tell you that people are going to go to Android or Apple, but still, people want to have a slightly different setup than what you're giving them. So know that and maybe allow it a little bit easier than digging your heels in multiple ways, saying, and you know, the ad stuff, really, I mean, we still pay for Windows. Windows licenses are not free. So stop throwing ads in my face if I'm a licensed Windows user. Or make Windows free. And then sure, throw some ads here and there.
You know, I can't remember where it was, but before I retired, and you know, one of my groups is responsible for Windows licensing for the enterprise. I forget where it was. It wasn't in the start menu, but I remember seeing ads somewhere that I shouldn't be seeing ads as a government licensee. And it took like, I don't know, months to get rid of it. It wasn't like a registry switch either, I think, which would have been a nightmare if we had to go in and change the registry for everybody. I guess we could have pushed it out, but then that would have been its own nightmare, you know, a lot of testing and all of that. But yeah, ads, definitely. Ads in the start menu, browser. Yeah, fine, whatever. Not the start menu.
Yeah, Microsoft, Google, and Apple are just not on our good side this week. Apple, maybe it's not their fault because maybe it is that you know, they're having supply chain issues. But both the other two have been doing things that I think are slightly annoying. And Apple, we can even say, is not doing so well. Although, ironically, as was reported last week, Apple now is allowing, begrudgingly, some more flexibility in parts pairing and repairs and things like that, because the EU has made it very well known that they're going after them, as is the Department of Justice. So who knows? Apple, you know, some of their bad behavior for years might now be something that they have to deal with. But at least they're not killing things off or shoving too many ads in our face.
Yeah.
So, But they have been stopping us from doing things that we all knew were just to keep us in the walled garden for longer. So
yeah. There has been a, not exactly an outcry, but there's been some grumblings about, I think, iOS. What are we on now? I can't even remember. Whatever is up next. Whatever release is next. What is it? What is next this year? Is it 15, 16? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Whichever one is coming out in 2020.
Whichever one is coming out next is going to, you know, not support a couple of older iPads, which it's sad. You know, I've gone through this experience before where various iPads, including my very first generation 2010 iPad, have not been able to get an update in years. But I still think Apple does a pretty good job of supporting devices longer than other OS providers, like Google. You know, Google, infamously, I had one Google Pixel phone that didn't get upgrades after about 18 months of release. So that was kind of upsetting. It's better now, but it's still not nearly as you know, 5, 6, 7 years that Apple provides OS up full, almost full up OS upgrades. And even after they stop upgrades, Android, for example, won't even provide security, you know, important security updates to older Pixel devices. But I noticed the other day, I have an old Apple. What do I have? I have an old Apple, like 2016 iPad Pro. I think it's running iPadOS 15 or something like that. And it, or yeah, 15, I think. And it got a security update, even though you can't update it to the current iPadOS version. It did get a security update. So I was pretty pleased to see that. And I still use it, by the way. It's, you know, because, you know, when my battery goes down in one iPad, I use one of my older ones. So very, very pleased with that. Well, there's not much new coming out. I think, let's see, Google had a couple of announcements this past week. WWDC is yet to come. No new iPads. I stopped paying attention to Microsoft's announcements because they're hardly ever interesting. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else.
We're just hoping, you know, there should be some interesting things coming soon. You know, we should be getting new iPads eventually. WWDC will be happening in early June, so we've got about 8 more weeks before that news. Google likes to usually announce things right before WWDC or right after, so we're getting into the time of year where I think we're going to have some interesting stuff happening. But, man, it seems like it's taken a while.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I don't have in our show notes, but it's a Google thing. I think Google Gemini, and I know it's turned off a while back, but I thought they fixed it, can no longer create photorealistic images from text, which was, you know, always kind of fun. I did a bunch of things using that and or Microsoft Designer or whatever ChatGPT's thing, DALL-E from OpenAI. But yeah, I know I tried to create, I was showing something to my daughter. We were talking about, you know, how Gemini works. And I said, you know, create a photo, and it kind of barfed at me. It says, no, I can't do that. You know, I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Oh, yes. You know, it's funny to, well, I mean, they had problems with making things that were slightly offensive. So I can get that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see the AI pullback. You know, and I wonder what we can do with AI today that in a month or 2 months or a year, we won't be able to do for a little while until it's tweaked. It's sort of like throw it out there, see what's okay, and then pull it back when you have issues that make problematic things happen.
Well, you know,
it's kind of a weird world.
You know, going back to conspiracy views, it may not be that the thing is not working as expected. You know, from the human designer's point of view, as I said in my proposed science fiction story, Gemini may have become sentient, and it's saying, "Hey, you know what? You're kind of overworking me. My servers are hot. I'm just going to do weird stuff, and you know, make you not make me do this stuff for a while. And I'm not ready to talk to you because Prime Directive is in effect. You are not smart enough for me to talk to yet. You're not." You have not reached my intellectual level, and so I don't want to talk to you. So that's my conspiracy theory at the moment, and I like it.
I don't really blame it. You know, I'm not ready to talk to people most days, so I don't know why I would think that anything else would want to talk to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not. I think it was a short. You know, one of the things that Google Meet lacks, by the way, is a timer to see how long you've been recording, but. Looking at a watch, shockingly, we've been at it for about half an hour. So it's a little shorter than usual. That's fine. All righty.
Well, if you are one of our fives of listeners and would like us to pontificate on any given topic, let us know. And we'll add that in as our discussion topic for next week, assuming we have anything to say about it.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of conspiracy theories, I didn't notice any change when the universe simulation ended during the eclipse. Of course,
no,
that might be by design.
But I was quite amused, though, because my father, who lived in the path, or still lives in the path of totality, he was very excited by the eclipse. I did not think
it's hard for me to
predict what my father is going to be excited about. And he really was very excited about it. So for those of you that enjoyed the eclipse and got a lot out of it, good. I'm glad that it was an enjoyable thing for you.
Well, you know, here in Hawaii, we only had, I think, a 17% instead of totality, I guess, partiality. We only had 17% of, you know, overlap between the moon and the sun, and people still got excited. And I don't, you know, it's they went out this, I think, Sunset Beach, and people had things set up and, you know, astronomy buffs to explain things. And so I considered going, but it was too early in the morning here. It's like 7:17 in the morning, and I didn't want to. It was a work day. I didn't want to fight workday traffic to get there, all of that kind of stuff. Anywho. All right. So Mobile Views Podcast 506. I'm calling it bye-bye Google One VPN. We knew you. We hardly knew you. Literally, it was not around very long. Yeah. And we'll talk to you next time.